Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We are coming in the name of Jesus. We're believing in the name of Jesus. And we're confident in the name of Jesus that we are being changed. We are being metamorphosized. God, we bless. We bless for the transformation that's occurring in our lives. And we know it's you. We know it's you. Continue on. Have your way with us. Accomplish your purposes in our lives this day. As we agree together to trust in you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. I am going to talk to you a little bit about deliverance. Oh my. I've seen so many different styles. I've tried so many different things. With a sincere heart, just desiring to help people get free. We've come away from, the church has come away from the simplicity of the gospel. We're going to get back to the gospel. Today, you're going to understand how simple this is. Lord of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's just so awesome. The Lord has allowed me to experience all these different things. And being in thousands of churches all over the world. See so many different techniques and styles. And all of it came out of this. The lack of power in the church to be able to simply set a captive free, to be able to simply move demons off of people, because the power has not been there. The church has come up with all kinds of doctrines and theologies to try to explain why these people are bound. We're just gonna remove all that.
Okay,
we're gonna just take that stuff right apart. Now, right here is a big old toilet. It's a toilet. Okay. Today, we're going to put this stuff in the toilet. All the methods, all the doctrine, all the theology that we had about how to get somebody free, we're going to put it in the toilet and we're going to flush it. Now, how many of you know, when you put something in the toilet and you flush it, you don't go looking for it afterwards? Right? You put it down because you're done with it. You're finished with it. And it's not fit to give to anybody else. You don't want to share it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to discuss it. You want to flush it. Okay. All right. So, let's read from Luke. Lucas chapter 10.
Luke chapter 10.
Verse 17, 18, and 19. Then the 70 returned to Jesus with joy, saying, Lord,
Morena.
Even the demons are subject or submit to us in your name. First off, understand, all deliverance happens in the name of Jesus. It's not because I put my Bible on your head and I commanded demons to come out. It's not because I hold up a cross to say, in the name of Jesus, come out. It's not because I get some anointing oil and I pour the anointing oil over your head. That's not why demons come out. They go in response to a believing believer who understands the authority in the name of Jesus, who understands that they are free and they're going to help someone else get free through the name of Jesus, because through that name every knee will bow, every knee will confess the name of Jesus. Get out. They understand that. And that's how it happens. Not any other way. Not any other method. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh. So we developed theologies.
So we would
have a questionnaire. It's 20 pages long. I still have it. We give it to the people. We say, fill out all these questions. Give it to us. We had a team. And we would spend a whole day going through all the answers to find all the demons in someone's life. And then we would meet with them. And we'd go through every single area and deal with every demon.
And then one by one.
Sometimes it would be 10, 12, 14, 20 hours long. Do you know? Because God so wants to touch people, He will use even our imperfect theologies to a measure to help people. We saw some measure of help, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is not for us to use psychology and try to figure out their problems. The gospel is not in the mental realm where we analyze their issues and then use our cognitive mind to figure out what to do. It's simply to bring them the power and life of God. That's the gospel. So these disciples came back and they were all excited. They said, Jesus, even the demons submit to us in your name. We command them to go in the name of Jesus. And they go. It's so awesome. They were so excited. Wow. So he says to them, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. That word power there is exousia, and it means ability. He said, I give you authority authority over all the ability of the enemy. Hey! How much authority? Over how much of the enemy? Over all the ability of the enemy. I give you authority. Now understand. He's not talking to born again people here. Jesus delegated his authority. After he was raised, Matthew 28:18 says what? Jesus stood. He's risen from the dead. He's defeated the devil. He talked to the disciples again. And he said this: all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, here. He's not delegating it anymore. Now, we don't have delegated authority. We have inherited authority. We have inherited the name of Jesus. This is so good. Oh, hey, when I got married, I had a checking account. You know, you write checks out. The people, they go to the bank and they get the money. When I got married, my wife took my checking account. She took the checkbook. And she signed my name. You know what? It was legal for her to do that. Because now she had inherited my name. My name became her name. When you said, Jesus, come save me, you inherited his name. He gave you full ability to use his name and spend his name. Oh. So it's not a matter of how much authority do you have. We don't have any authority of our own. We have all authority of Jesus' name. What do you want? Do you want to go in the authority of your name? Or do you want to go in the authority of the name that's above all names? Which is now your name. What do you want? Oh, this is so good. So he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy. Now watch what he says. He says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like that word nothing. Yeah, I looked it up. I looked it up in the Greek. Do you know what that means in the Greek? That word nothing, you know what it means in the Greek? It means, ready? It means nothing. It means there is no thing. There is no thing that shall by any means harm you. The devil comes to put fear on us to make us think we can be harmed. What is Jesus saying? He's given us his name, authority, and there's no ability of the devil that can stand against it unless you believe that the devil can have authority over you. Unless, and here's a whole doctrine, believers who believe, well, I gave the devil authority over that area of my life. How do you do that? You don't have any authority of your own. You have the authority of Jesus. We're coming back here.
We're gonna
go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, how many times do we say, "Oh, I need greater authority, Lord. I need greater authority in the spirit realm." How do you get greater than the authority of Jesus? You've already been given the greatest authority there is. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse 17. "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" He's telling the believers, "Don't you understand who's living in you? Don't you understand that inside you is the Spirit of the living God? Don't you understand? You are not your own." Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Okay. Have we been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus? Have we? Is he the owner of us now? If he's the owner of us, that means we don't own ourselves, right? Tell me how you can give authority over something that you don't own.
Huh?
How do you do that? You don't. That's a lie from the enemy. "Oh, I gave the devil authority because I sinned in this area. I gave the devil authority to come into my life." You cannot. You cannot. Unless you believe that lie. Now let me ask you. Is Jesus, who owns us, going to say to the devil, "Go ahead, kill him. Go ahead, take their life. Go ahead, rob from them"? The devil's got to go to the owner. I'm owned by Jesus. The devil's got to go to Jesus, my owner, and say, "Can I kill them?" Is Jesus going to say yes? No! He's not going to say yes. We don't give the devil authority in anything because we don't have it to give. We have Jesus' authority because he owns us. Wow. That whole doctrine about how we give authority to the devil to hurt us. Down the dumper. Get rid of it. It's a lie from the devil. Jesus said in John 10, "I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly." But the thief comes, the devil comes to rob, steal, and destroy. If someone breaks into your home and they steal from you, do they have a legal right to be there? Does a robber have a legal right to steal from you? Are you ever going to give him the legal right to steal from you? No! What happens when you find a robber in your house? You call the police. We call on the name of Jesus, and that's the police. Angels come, grab those demons. "You're out of here!" Did you hear the name of Jesus? Did you hear that believing believer declare the name of Jesus? "You're out of here!" It's that easy. It really is that easy. He's given you all authority over all the ability of the devil. So the devil, the demons, they come with fear. And they try to get you to buy into the fear. Oh my goodness. We were in Uganda. We're in the bush. We're coming out of the bush after meetings. We got stuck in the mud. We had to get out to push the vehicle. I'm pushing. And I cut myself. Right there. I didn't think anything of it. We got back. And I got ready to go to sleep. I looked at my arm, and there was an infection going right up my vein.
Now,
my wife used to work in medical records. And she was always talking about, you know, these things that happen. And I keep telling her, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. One of the things she told me was, you get cut with something if it's an infection. It gets in your vein, goes up your veins. When it gets to your heart, it'll kill you. So the devil put that thought back into my mind. And he said, where's the nearest hospital? There is none. Where's the nearest medical help? There is none. And he said to me, you're going to die. You will be dead before the morning. And I literally felt the fear of the demons pushing against me to get me to receive that. Jesus said, nothing by any means shall harm me. And I stood there watching this thing go up my arm. I said, devil, nothing by any means will harm me. I am here on assignment of the King of Kings. You are under my feet, devil. You have no ability, no authority. You have no means to pull this off. I command this to go in the name of Jesus. I laid down in the bed and I fell asleep. And I slept the whole night. I got up, looked down, completely gone. You see? We've got to understand, nothing by any means shall harm us. Who said that? Was it me? Who said it? Jesus said it. And you have inherited his name. Inherited his life. Wow. Glory to God. I woke up, I was in the bush another time, and I woke up in the morning. It was very early, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I looked in the mirror, and I had bites all over my face. All over my skin. Bites, and they were big, and they looked like they were full of pus. Everywhere, all over me. It wasn't there when I went to bed. I woke up and there it was. Again, what happened? I felt the fear of the demons. And of course I heard the voice. Demons can talk to you in your head to make you think that it's your own thoughts. So they're putting thoughts in my head. You're going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. They come in the first person. They come with their thoughts in the first person to make you think it's your thoughts. I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. That's what they're putting there to make me think that it's me. Again, what did I do? Satan, nothing by any means shall harm me. Put my hands on myself. You can lay your hands on yourself. My hands on myself. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this curse. I cancel your assignment. Get off of me now. I laid back down. I got up 2 hours later. Completely gone. How does that happen? A believing believer. The devil is no match for a believing believer. There's no demon. There's no demon that can stand in the life of a believing believer. Who knows who they are? Who knows they have the name of Jesus? Not because we're holy, our actions are holy, not because we fasted and prayed, not because we've been really good, not because we read our Bible all the time. Those are all good things. But there's no conditions for you to speak the name of Jesus with the authority of Jesus. Are you with me? Oh my. So we begin to see, as we go to other churches, things like this. I mean, this was early on our going out. We were up, sitting up here with the pastor and the elders. People, they had not turned the service over yet to us. Now I understand, until the service is turned over to me, I don't say anything. I'm not doing anything. I can pray quietly. But I'm not going to exercise authority until it's given to me. We need to understand how that works in the spirit realm. So before they've turned the service over to us, people are coming up and they're doing a corporate prayer over everyone. And then they a corporate prayer. And pastor and elders are sitting there. We're sitting up here. And a lady starts to manifest.
And then
she's going.
And I feel what.
Okay. So we're sitting there. Now we know what to do. But we're not going to do it because the service has not been turned over to us. So we turn and we look at the pastor. And he's watching.
And then
he's watching. He gets up. And then he starts to run. And he jumps. And he jumps on the lady, and he grabs her, and he starts wrestling with her. And he's screaming, "Devils, come out! Devils, come out! Devils, get out!" Now, how many of you know, we do not fight with carnal weapons? How many of you know, you try to fight a demon with your fists, you're going to get hurt? Okay? So he's wrestling. And watch this lady.
And then when I'm sorry,
boom! She slams him down the ground. Look at him. And we're like, and then the four elders,
and then,
they stand up. And they go, "Yeah!" Now, we saw four big men and the pastor wrestling with this little woman. And this is what's happening. She's going. We sat there and we watched these five men get beat up. They were bleeding. Huh. And the pastor looks up and he goes, So we said, okay. So one of the guys that was with me, he went down there, got on the floor next to the woman, very quietly, no screaming, no noise, no wrestling. He just said this, "I command you to submit in the name of Jesus." He did that two or three times. And the lady went, "That's it. I command you to submit in the name. Nobody else knew what he was saying. He was very quiet, very gentle, no wrestling, no punching. These 5 men are laying there bleeding. And this lady got free.
And then say you are cool.
In 60 seconds.
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
That's 1 minute.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah.
We went back to that country 7 years later in a different area of the country. And this lady came up to us. She said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't." She said, "I was the lady in that church that was manifesting. And the demons on me beat up the pastor, beat up the elders, hurt them really bad." She said, "I was the lady." She said, "You guys preach such a pure, simple message. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. You kept pointing me to Jesus. Just pointing me to Jesus. Trust in him. Lean on him. Let him do that." She said, "I want to tell you what's happened in the last 7 years. She said, "I am now a pastor. I have a church. The name of the church is Grace Deliverance Tabernacle." She said, "I get people free, one after another. I'm training people how to do that. And there's no screaming, there's no pushing, there's no yelling, there's no formulas. It's just simply, this is who you are. This is who Jesus is to you. Walk in it, little one." And they're getting free. And they're getting free. She said, "Look at my life. The simple truth that I received completely changed. Now I'm all about the kingdom. I'm all about God's work." And we develop all these crazy doctrines and crazy formulas, going searching into people's history and all these things, except for Jesus. You have policemen here, right?
Yeah.
You have policemen? Okay. Suppose you were driving your car and you were speeding. And you got pulled over by a policeman.
And then the police allowed him.
And he came up to you. And you recognize him.
Oh,
you're Charlie. We went to high school together. Remember that? And you know that Charlie was a stupid man.
And
he did all kinds of bad things. And you think, "I don't have to listen to him. His life isn't good. I don't have to listen to him. What's going to happen to you? You're going to go to jail." Because he's got a badge. And it's not about him. It's about who he represents. He represents the authority. And when he says you're wrong, you're wrong. It doesn't matter whether his life is cleared up or straight or not. He's the policeman. And he represents, he's got a badge. You got a badge. You know what your badge is? The Holy Ghost. You got the badge of the Holy Ghost. You walk with a badge. You walk with authority. You walk with power. You do. Unless you believe you don't. There's the problem. We have too many unbelieving believers. What would you think if I was a policeman in the street directing traffic? Okay. This car's coming. What would you think of this? The policeman did this. Stop! 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 You would think he's crazy. He does not know the authority that he has. All he has to do is Stop. Okay. All you have to do is say no. Devil, no. In the name of Jesus. You're getting off of this person. In the name of Jesus. We don't want to be like the crazy policeman. Right?
I get it.
We want to be like the policeman who knows who he is and knows what his badge represents. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, he says, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Over all the ability Does a thief have ability to break into your house? Yeah. He has ability to break in your house. But does he have authority to be there? No! You see, the thief can come and break in your house. He can come and afflict you and torment you and demonize you and oppress you. Because he has ability to do that. He has no authority to do it. And when you know you have the authority of the name of Jesus, you can stop him cold. James says, resist the devil at his onslaught when he first comes. What he wants to do is to get us to say, oh, I guess there's something wrong in my life. Oh, I guess I must have hidden sin. Oh, I guess I must have done something wrong to allow the demons to come into my life. That's a lie. That's a lie. He has ability but no authority. And Jesus said, I give you power over all of his ability. You got to remember this. Okay? Because that's truth. And when you stand on that truth, the Spirit of God will move and move powerfully. Get your house clean. For you to help get others' house clean. The last trip we were around in Tanzania, we went up to the Maasai. They're a little bit on the primitive side. Okay, and they recognize there's a lot of demonic spiritual activity. And they come for prayer. And you'll hear them say things like this. I've got demons. I got a lot of demons. Really? Oh. Okay. Why do you want them? What? Why do you want the demons? Well, I don't want them. I said, okay, then get rid of them. Huh? You see, they think that they have to have these demons because they've got open doors. That's another one, open doors. Only if we believe that. Jesus shut the doors. Jesus shut the doors. I didn't know it, but when we were there, they have this belief that they never let little children lay hands on adults. It's not biblical. But the church has taken that tradition and brought it into the church. I didn't know that. So, We've got this guy, he's standing up there, and people came for prayers. Guy standing there, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I have terrible pains all through here. It's so bad. I said, okay. To show you that a child can do this. I looked around. I was drawn to this little boy about 9 years old. I said, come over here. Are you born again? He says, yes, I'm born again. Come over here. I said, you pray for him. I didn't know that it was against their tradition. Okay. I said, you pray for him. I said, just put your hand right there. Now you command that sickness to go. You command the demons that he says he has. You just command them, come out in the name of Jesus. Little boy puts his hand there. And he says, in the name of Jesus. He goes like this, in the name of Jesus. You demons, come out of him. And the guy goes like this.
And then
he's puking. Now, a lot of times demons come out through puke.
Okay.
Look like little white foam balls, you know, on the floor. Just we've had times a whole corner of the room is filled with people puking up demons. And the guy says, doing that. And I said to the young boy, I said, what's happening? He said, he's getting free right now. I said, okay. So the guy stood up. I said, tell us what's happening. Everybody's watching. Tell us what's happening. He said, I'm free. I got no pain. I'm free. I'm free. So I turned to the crowd and I said, who prayed? Was it me? Was it our team? Who prayed? This 9-year-old boy. You think you can't do it? 9-year-old boy prayed. Oh. So then I said, anybody else want prayer? Come up. Nobody would get up because they were afraid that I would have the children praying for them, and it was against their tradition. Crazy traditions that we brought into the church. Isn't that amazing? I mean, every church has got them. Crazy traditions that nullify the effect of the word of God, Jesus said. Your traditions nullify the word of the power of the word of God to be released. Hi. Look at this. Turn your Bible to Titus. You know where that is? It's right after 2 Timothy. Yeah. Titus chapter 2, verse 9.
Titus chapter 2, verse 9.
But avoid foolish disputes. Genealogies. Contentions. And strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. So let me talk to you about this one word, genealogies. He said, don't even go there, because it's useless and totally unprofitable. What's a genealogy? What is a genealogy? It's this belief system that I'm messed up because my father was messed up, because my grandfather was messed up, because all the problems he had, I've inherited his problems. And the Bible tells us that's stupid. It's totally useless. Okay, what happened to you when you were born again? Who's your father? Who said God? Your father is now God. Do you understand? When you were born again, your entire entire family tree, your entire genealogy completely changed. You have a new family. You are no longer related to your natural family. You have a new history. Your history now goes back one generation. Your history goes back as far as Jesus, and that's as far as it goes. Now you tell me, what's wrong with Jesus? What's his sin? What's his problem? He has none. What you have inherited is the genealogy of Jesus. That's now your genealogy. So, what do we do about all these curses? Well, I got cursed from my great grandfather. He was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. I became an alcoholic. I'm telling you about myself now. That's my natural history. Far back as my family can remember, the men were all alcoholics. I believe the lie that I too was because of my family history. That's just the way I am. Everybody else in my family was that way, so am I. Until I met Jesus. And I found out, when he went to the cross, he took all the curse upon himself. He ended curses for those who believe. And I said, Jesus, this thing that I believed, I inherited. It's not true. I am not an alcoholic. I am a born again son of God. I am a man of God filled with the authority of the name of Jesus. And right now, I receive the truth of who you have made me to be. I believe the lie, but no more. I'm done. Before that day, I was still drinking. I would drink a case of beer every day. A whole case. Can you believe that? Plus a bottle of whiskey. Every day. That's how bad it was. The day that my eyes were open to see that my natural genealogy is of no effect any longer. I have a new father. I have a new genealogy. It's the line of Jesus. It's the line of the lion of the tribe of Jesus, Judah. I am free. My entire history now is free. From that moment, I never had 1 ounce of desire any longer. Completely removed it. And I instantly no longer saw myself as that way. Isn't that amazing? I had a lady in America. Her husband called me. And he said, I know we're in church. I know you're not our pastor. I hope that doesn't matter to you. I said, of course not. Listen, we heard that you can help people get free. I said, sure, I can help you. What's the problem? He said, my wife, our son 3 years ago, he died in a car accident. And my wife had major trauma. And she has gone basically insane. She is not able to do anything to function in any way. We've been to every doctor, every mental facility, every hospital we could, gone through all the programs that we know. Nothing has helped. I said, you come see me. They came to see me. I said, to her. And she was just nonstop. She just kept doing that nonstop. So I said to her, "Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" She said, Yes. I said, "Okay. You don't need to say anything. I'm going to read to you from the scriptures of who you are, who Jesus made you to be." And I probably read 50 scriptures, one after another, and I kept reading. And you know, when you declare scripture, and you know Holy Ghost is living in you, what comes out, your words are spirit and they are life. Your words are spirit, which means they go right to the spirit of the person, and it's life, which means the life rides on the spirit and affects that person that hears it. Do you know that? If you believe that's true, that's what you'll see. That's what you will see. If you don't believe that's true, you won't see it. You'll still be caught up in trying to figure it all out. Trying to analyze and discern their problems. Instead of releasing life. And I did that. And she slowed down.
And then
I said, are you sensing the Spirit of God working within you? Yes. I blessed her. Sent her home. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the man, the husband. He said, "We don't know how to thank you." He said, "I've never seen anything like this in my life." He said, every day, I did what I saw you do. I just read, declared scriptures over my wife.
He
said she fixed dinner. She hasn't done that in 3 years. She's going back to work. She hasn't worked in 3 years. She's excited about living again. She's not had that excitement in 3 years. He said, "I don't understand this really, but it's the most powerful thing I've ever seen. What did I do? I didn't command one single demon to leave. I just simply declared to this woman who was so severely bound, who God made her to be, and what God thinks about her." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is so powerful. It's crazy. It's crazy powerful. And it's crazy simple. It's so simple. It's the gospel. We brought too much stuff into the gospel. One more scripture.
Okay.
Let's go over to James. James chapter 5.
James chapter 5.
Remember in John chapter 9 where there was I think it was blind.
Yes.
And they asked Jesus, whose sin was it? Was it the father's sin? Or was it the mother's sin that brought this condition on? Jesus said, neither. Here's another whole thing that's out there. It's called spiritual roots. The people believe that behind every sickness, behind every problem, there's a spiritual root. So what we have to do is we've got to dig in and find the root. If we can find that sin or find that issue, the root, then we can help them get free. You see the major problem with this? We've moved out of being their deliverer, and we become their judge. Jesus said, do not judge. Do not judge. Do not judge. Everybody he set free, he didn't do that. You show me in the scriptures where Jesus said, okay, come sit down. I have a couch here for you. Sit down. Relax. We're going to start looking into your past. Okay? We're going to find out the root of how this thing got there. Did Jesus ever do anything like that? He just set him free. What has happened to the church to bring us to this place? We don't understand. There's that kind of power and authority in the name of Jesus to just set them free. Oh, I have people come to me for counseling. And I tell them, okay, tell me your problem. Let's pray. And so many times they say this to me. Are you thinking that just by you praying, we're going to be fixed? You think we're going to get free just by you praying? And I say, yeah. If you believe, you'll get free. I believe. Just like Jesus. That's my position. I've had people get up and walk out. So we're going to find somebody who will meet with us 800 times to figure out all our issues. It's not gospel. It's not gospel. James chapter 5 verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Does your Bible say save? And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Does your Bible say save? What does your Bible say?
And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Who has a version that says save? Yours says save?
It says save.
Do you know why one version says save and one says make him well? Because it's all included in salvation. It's the same thing. Being healed, being delivered is the same as receiving eternal life. It's all included. It's all included. The prayer of faith will heal or save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Notice, forgiveness comes after healing here. Healing does not have the condition of forgiving first. Do you see that? But this whole spiritual roots thing that's going on out there is we've got to find, there must be unforgiveness in your life. That's why this sickness is on you. So what do? We find the sin. We get them to confess it. We get them to repent. Repent old covenant style. Not new covenant style. I'm going to talk to you about that later. So we put it, number one, we're judging them. And number two, we're putting it back on them to do something when Jesus has already done everything. You see how wrong that is? And it says that this kind of stuff brings in evil and all manner of confusion.
And then and then
the biggest problem is Jesus never did it that way. Okay. In the Gospels, when we read the Gospels, who do we relate to? Sometimes we relate to the sick people. Now, none of us relate to the Pharisees, right?
No.
We don't relate to them.
I know.
But sometimes we relate to the disciples. But do you know except for the last two chapters of each of the Gospels. It's still Old Covenant. The New Covenant begins the last two chapters of each of the Gospels. So who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to people that are not born again. So we have one example to follow in the Gospels, and that's Jesus and only Jesus. He's the only one born again, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. He's our only example in the Gospels, just Jesus. Not the disciples. If you have, in America, when they get bugs inside of houses, they get a lot of bugs in the house, then they call an exterminator to come. Exterminator comes, he gets his little traps, and he puts the traps around the house, and he tries to catch the bugs. Okay. But there's a better way. They could come out and put a tent over the whole house, and then release a bomb in the house that goes in all the corners and all the walls, goes everywhere, and kills them all. Many believers do deliverance this way. Like they got a rifle, and they're looking for the problem, and they're going to find him. Oh, there's a bug right there. See him? Right at the top of that wall there. See it? Yeah, see him? I'm going to get him. Ready? I got that bug. But what I don't know is there's 500 more. The best way, it's not to go after an issue in someone's life, because there will be many other issues. It's to bring the tent, to bring the dynamite, the dunamis power of God, like we talked about this morning, to bring the dunamis, tent the house, and release the power of God. Kill everything all at once. That's the best way. So what do? We introduce the people to Jesus. Look, the best counsel I can give you. So turn your faith, turn your confidence fully to Jesus. You can't make your life right. You can't do enough things to make your life right. You can't fix your life. Only Jesus. Jesus. He's already done it. And by you trusting in Him every day, you have an issue. Okay, I can't fix this, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I trust you to release the life of Christ through me. I can't love this person. I just want to punch him. I can't fix it. I trust you to release the life of Jesus in me. And when you do that, He releases the love, the life of Jesus, and you begin to see the effect of the gospel of truth, and a life begins to change. Not because we're doing it. Show me where in the Bible it says you need to try to be a good Christian. You try to be a good Christian. Come on, work harder. Work harder. Work harder. That's not in there. What does he say? Die. Get over yourself. Put yourself aside. Trust God. The gospel is not anything like the philosophy of the world. Deliverance is easy. In the name of Jesus. Just believe. Just believe. Spend your time finding out who you are. Spend your time telling others who God says they are. You will see the greatest transformation you've ever seen. I'm living proof. I am living proof. I have tried everything there was. Only thing that works and will always work is confidence in Him. Let's get back to the simplicity of the gospel. In Christ Jesus and in Him alone. All the work that God the Father has done, He's done in His Son, Jesus Christ. All He will ever do is in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why what we've got to do is to get in His Son, Jesus. That's it. Then you get the benefit of everything that He's done. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if you've got you got issues that you something you feel like you need to be set free from, that you've been struggling with, we'll be glad to agree with you. Jesus has already set you free. He's already finished the work to set you free. When we receive that, we believe that and receive that, then we begin to see a different manifestation. We begin to see a manifestation of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life begins to manifest within us. And the enemy has to back up. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll be glad if you want us to pray with you, we'll be glad to agree with you over anything that's going on, okay? We'll be glad to do that. Jesus did say if two or three of you would agree in my name, hey, I'll be smack dab in the middle of that. I'll be right there in the middle of that, just looking for agreement. But if you got one thinking you got sin issues, and someone else thinking Jesus has done it all, you got no agreement. Amen.
Amen.
Has Jesus done it all? Has Jesus finished everything that needs to be done? Has He? Then let's get back to that. Let's redirect our focus. I'm telling you, everything will completely, radically change in your life. And you'll be able to help one person after another. Very quickly. I found that my time was being consumed helping people before I understood the true gospel. Now it's easy. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.